God, are you excited to getting out? This is crazy. I just overheard you guys talking.
I'm stressed.
Really? Why? Yeah. Why?
Well, my deer hunt went 20 days more than it was supposed to.
Yeah.
Which obviously led into a very quick turnaround for elk. Mm-hmm. Elk turned into two more days than it was supposed to be.
Yep.
And then came home and then had a family trip to Disneyland. Got a, you know, middle hunting season. You got to do something to like keep it, keep it fresh at home.
Yeah.
So we had the Disneyland
trip. How was Disneyland?
It was good.
It was good.
Definitely not rides? The happiest place on earth, but it was good.
It's a small world. Did you ride that one?
No.
Is that one still around?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy like how much of the originals are still there.
I haven't been there
for a while. But I have horrible nausea, like from my Meniere's disease, like the same reason why I get dizzy when I glass
like,
for too long.
Like motion sickness?
Yeah. Horrible. And remember when we talked about Cody on the glassing podcast?
Yeah.
I got into that. Mm-hmm. So I can only ride very certain rides, and I can only ride like a couple before I just get so spun out. Like I'm sick for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just do a lot of, you know, managing in between rides. Yeah. Snacks.
Let me get lunch.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
That kind
I do
of thing.
A lot of that.
But then you're going duck hunting this year.
Yeah. This Saturday is opener.
This coming Saturday is the opener.
It's the opener.
Where are you going?
Nevada for the opener.
Really?
Yeah.
What are duck Nevada. Hunting opportunities like in Nevada?
Interesting.
Hard to find?
No, actually, they're extremely easy to find because a duck needs water.
Sure. Like there's not a lot of it in Nevada.
There's
only like two spots in the whole state.
They got webbed feet. Like they need water to live. That's where they brood. That's where they roost. That's where they loaf. That's protection. That's all kinds of stuff. And there's only so much in Nevada. It's like if you find water, you're probably going to, you know, find some
Does it birds. Get better? I would think. Like, when's prime time for Nevada waterfowl
this
season?
This is the hard part of Nevada. Is like, you know, there any main part of a flyway, like any of the Pacific flyway, like any main known part, like through Washington, through California, through Idaho, through Montana, all that stuff. Like, you can really time the migration, and when the birds show up, they show up, and, like, there's a rhyme or reason. When Canada freezes, they come down, right? Like,
yep.
Nevada, there's no rhyme or reason. It's, like, kind of a weird...
Just sporadic.
I mean, it's, I guess you could say within, you know, 50% of the normal process of the flyway, like, yeah, it'll be good when it's good there, but it's kind of its own little thing.
Do you go? It's. I mean, it's going to be 80 degrees. Probably.
No, it's going to be 62.
Oh, really?
So windy and cloudy.
Okay, gotcha. Colder then.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. It's actually shaping up really? To be like a
do
pretty
you,
good
do you
day.
Do decoy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Already this early.
Yeah. And a lot feels, of decoys.
Dude, it feels really early to be hunting waterfowl. It seems like to me, but I don't know.
I know. October 11th is opener. Especially all the way down here, which is crazy because that's Washington's opener too.
What's your level of excitement?
Through the roof.
Yeah. Are you as excited about this as anything?
I mean, it's fun. It's fun. Like if anybody doesn't know, you know this about me, but if anybody doesn't know, like this is my original addiction is waterfowl. Mm-hmm. This was my original, like burned my life down over.
It burned later, but it burned hot.
Oh, like it,
red
incredibly hot.
Hot
and something I was willing to like ruin my life over. And now it's both big game and waterfowl, so I'm in a really good spot for my family. So like it's I haven't hunted because we've been so busy here, and I've been busy in my family life and everything we've been doing at go hunting, all this stuff. So I haven't waterfowl hunted, and this will be three full seasons of not a single waterfowl hunt into now the fourth is when I'm starting again. So like over 3 years. What is that? Like if you did the math on that, it's like 3.5 years I haven't shot or hunted a duck.
Yep.
And it's like my original burn my life down.
Addiction. And you've kind of built the infrastructure for pursuing this more in depth. So you've got a vehicle now that you've kind of built out a little bit. You got a dog.
Built a trailer for the traveling duck hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a mobile trailer.
That's how these things go. It feels like you get an idea in your head. You're like, oh, either you've done it or you're not done it and you want to get into it. And you're like, okay, I need this, I need that. You start building it out, and then I would think adding a dog to the mix is even, you know, tenfold, right?
Oh, it's tenfold.
Yeah, at least.
I'm nervous, because, I went on a tangent there, but he hasn't had any training reps in a long, long time. because all scouting, and then I got excited because of the deer I found and I don't want to leave them. So yep. Then that happened. So, I mean, it's been since like late July. He hasn't had any training reps. And when I got home from Wyoming, when we got home, I did some drills with him and it was a complete mess. Like, not good at all. But he is a smart dog. Like, he is smart. I think he was just excited that like we were doing it again. So he was all over the place. And then I introduced something new, which was the dog blind. Probably not a good idea to introduce it that day, but when I got home, it was there in the mail. So I set it up and got him in it. That was probably a mistake on my part. It was adding something new the first training session back, but it was an absolute wreck. Did not go well. I've been like really nervous.
It's getting better though.
Yeah.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Do you think you'll be different when you put a real duck in front of
him?
Yeah. These are some natural instincts will take over a little bit.
He's birdie is all hell. Yeah. Like if he sees a bird fly, like his recall is really good. His like listening is really, especially for a 10-month old, like teenage stage puppy, his listening skills are really good. Even if he has something that he views as way more interesting than me, like another dog or a new person or any of that. He listens really well. If you put a bird into the mix, and see you later.
Just one track.
Oh, it's done. Like if a bird lands on the ground in front of him, like pigeons will land on the ground out here to gravel, you know, it's game over. Like I will not get him back.
So that's this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
Are you going Saturday and Sunday?
I'm going Saturday.
Just Saturday. Gotcha.
Trying to be nice to my family right now before it really takes off.
What time do you got to be out there?
This is where I'm nervous is like, it brings me back. This brings me back to like my days of.
Yeah. Cause you gotta get up early.
I mean, it's public land.
You gotta be pretty diehard
hunting. So I think we're just going to all nighter it. I think we're going to go in the night before sleep. Backcountry style. What's the difference of sleeping on an elk?
Nothing.
That's what talking to my waterfowl buddies here that I've like gotten back into the network. I'm like, what? I don't understand. I sleep on elk and deer all the time. Like this is really not that big of a deal.
Yep.
Just throw out a sleeping bag and a pad and.
That'd be fun, man.
Be sleeping like a baby.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
It's like, an old love come back, you know, and then it's full tilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. We're in a different spot today.
Remember the saying, sorry to cut you off, if you love it, set it free, whatever that is, if it comes back or whatever.
Yeah, if it comes back, it's true love. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's it.
And all the feelings are back.
We just made that shit up.
Is it true love for waterfowl for me? I think so. All the same feelings are bad.
I don't know, but I think you're set to have based on the conversation I was eavesdropping on, it sounds like you're going to have a fun post-fall winter.
It'll be a wild fall.
Yeah, it'll be good. We're in a different spot today.
Yes.
You were kind enough to open up your office to us. Yeah. This is Lorenzo's office. So we've done in the past, we did a trophy tour of my basement and kind of looked through my office. I thought it'd be fun to do a podcast where... Especially where mule deer season's kind of really kicking off. Brady's out. He's out getting his butt handed to him, I think, right now. I don't know. we'll find out.
Sounds like, sadly.
It'll be, it might be a few days, but it'll show up for him, I'm sure.
I said if he puts 10 days in there, as hard as he hunts.
For sure. Yeah, he's going to do great.
In 10 days.
Just a matter of time. It goes to show you that mule deer are crafty suckers, man.
So crafty.
Like you think you got things figured out and it couldn't be more cut and dry. And then, you know, they throw a wrench in the mix.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he'd be done Sunday morning. I thought we all kind of thought.
I was like, what he was going into from scouting.
Yeah. I had yard work to do and I was putting it off. I was like, I'll just maybe put that off till this evening just in case I need to like go hang out and look at a big buck, you know, but. Yeah. I thought just prior to rifle deer kind of kicking off, I don't have a tag. You don't have a tag.
No.
Neither of us have a late season rifle deer tag.
How long has it been?
I shot one last year with a rifle. Yeah.
How long has it been since you've had like a late season deer tag?
Well, I had that one in Nevada, which was a late archery tag. It was 2 years ago. And then last year I had a dedicated hunter tag and I was on my second year and I took my 12-year-old out with me and we got onto a couple bucks and he was so excited, which he's so excited. I just got a rifle today for him. I don't know if I'll have to show it before I go. That. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to face, he's under strict orders. He's like, hey, when you get it and I get out of school, you got to FaceTime me. Let's pull that out of the box. We want to look at it. He is so excited. So he's got a deer tag this year, but he went with me last year. And, it was a good buck. He's basically a big framey 3x4, but we got into like 430 yards of him, and I was just like, I can't say no to this. This is like why I do it, right? So
it's better.
It was fantastic.
It's better than the other side.
Still, one of my very favorite videos is I shoot that buck and we get it taken care of. I get it loaded up in my backpack and I'm headed out, and he's got no backpack because I had everything, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just out ahead of me. He's got his walking stick, and I've probably got, I don't know, 110 pounds on my back, and I'm like dying. It's all downhill, thank God. But I'm dying, and I just took like a quick clip because he is like singing to himself.
Just loving life.
Just loving. He's just clip-clopping down the trail, and I've got like all this weight on my back. But it's pretty funny. Kids are so funny, man. I'm so excited. I'm actually super excited this year to get him out. So he's got a deer tag the end of the month, so, and then awesome. He's got that elk tag. He's super excited about his elk tag too.
How old?
He's 12. Just 12. He'll be 13 in January. So I actually saw the funniest clip. So I have this friend in Cedar. He shot a bull this last weekend, and he took his kids with him. It's the funniest clip I've ever seen. I'll have to show you. But he's digiscoping, and he's got his eight. I think his kid's eight. He's in the scope watching as his dad takes the shot, right? So he shoots, and you hear the kid go, oh, like this reaction, like, oh, that's not good. And then you hear him say, shot him right in the hind leg.
He's only eight.
He's only eight. Guy made a great shot.
Oh, he was just
crunched him, but just the reaction, you know, like that natural inclination, I think, of a kid to like give their dad some shit, you know, was just so fun. It's what it felt like to me.
Sounds like something my kid would do.
That
to
was
me.
Hilarious, though. I've watched that. I've probably watched it 200 times. I'll have to show you. I was laughing so hard. Oh, right in the hind leg.
That's so awesome. Speaking of you getting your kid a gun, Turtle is turning 7 in March, and Idaho is 9, New Mexico is 9 for age. Like, so I'm starting to think about like things we could do, you know. So anyways, he's been really interested in hunting and all this. So I bought him his first pellet gun.
Yeah.
Same thing. Dad, you tell me when he gets here. I want to open the box.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I'm like, hey, this is like kind of real though. You know, like it's not a real gun, but it's like kind of real. So
we're
going to treat this one like you're not allowed unless I'm there and the whole deal. But strict orders the whole time. Like I'm not allowed to look at it unless he's there too. You know, it's funny to watch.
Yeah, alive. I got a scope for it. I got to find somebody probably to mount the scope. I've done them before, but just been so damn long. I'm like, I don't remember exactly how to do this. I'd have to Google it up.
My goal is to get him like in one of those 9-year-old youth states. So for I can start hunting him early.
Yeah, it'd be good. Yeah, Owen's excited. It's going to be way fun. And any deer will do. He actually drew dedicated hunter. I applied him in a dedicated hunter program just because I thought I want to guarantee him to have a tag for 2 years out of three, right? And we haven't been able to go out like muzzleloader or anything like that, but the rifle, we're going to make a push. He's out for fall break for a couple days. And, I was asking him the other day, I was like, hey, you know, you can kill 2 deer in 3 years. You know, what are you thinking? And he's just like, I don't even care if it's a buck, I'm shooting it. And I'm like, yes, love that vibe.
That's going to be a fun
hunt. Can do that. Yeah. So it'd be good, but we're in your office. So we change locations. Few things I want to talk about on the podcast today. One of the reasons I decided to change locations is because I wanted to do kind of a office tour, right? So I want to talk about some of your bucks, hopefully get some, you know, get people excited. I know that when people stop into the Go Hunt office in either Paul or
Norris.
Yeah, either Paul or Norris bring people in. I mean, obviously people want to stop in and check out your office and look at some deer because you got some great bucks on the wall. So I wanted to do just like a little run through, maybe talk about some of your bucks. Just maybe like relive some memories, especially rifle deer hunts is coming up.
Yeah.
Kind of pick some of those apart. And then the other part of it, which I'll dive into first, is I wanted to cover just like some upcoming season regulations, getting permits that are coming up. We have our Halloween episode that'll be coming up. So that's the end of the month. So that'll kind of take precedence over some of these like updates that I think probably need to be covered before then.
Are you talking about the spooky one?
Yeah. So we're doing that. So we put a plug out for people.
Yeah. Do you know on Brady's Hunt?
No.
Bones and Jordan?
No.
We might have some in-person storytelling.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to have them call in maybe or have them come pop in?
Like pop in for a 20-minute segment.
Is it alien related?
Yeah. It's like kind of crazy too.
We got some wild ones already.
It's just it literally just happened to me. They were at my house last night. Really? Yeah, I'm finishing building the trailer, and they're helping me do. Okay. They're doing all the work, and because they're so handy, it's incredible. I asked them last night. I said, "Do you guys ever look in the mirror and feel like super manly? Because you should. Like, there's nothing these two kids can't do. Bobby like, Bill. They are incredible.
Huh?
But they were telling me the story on Brady's Hunt because they were helping him on opening day. Yes.
Okay. Good.
I don't even want to like bring it up. Yeah, float anything. They have a they got a story.
We got some pretty wild ones. Just some weird ones coming in. I read one today that I was like, what the actual? Like,
yeah.
So that one's always good.
We're looking for me out.
Yeah. So that'll be going out on the 30th. But I guess before we get started, I'm going to hit you with these updates. So updates, one of them being probably the most pressing. So the over-the-counter archery deer opportunity in Arizona. They changed a few years back where they put a quota, basically. So it's a 48-hour. You have to call in after you harvest. You must report your harvest within 48 hours on that permit. And essentially, when the quota in the OTC unit is met, then they close down the unit. But there still are over-the-counter opportunities to hunt deer archery in Arizona. The reason I'm bringing it up right now is because that's approaching November 3rd. So the 2025, you're going to buy a permit for the 2026 season that opens November 3rd at 8 a.m. I did take a look. It looked like last year it sold out in like 16, 17 minutes for non-residents. So if you are interested, that's something you ought to be aware of. I read that there'd be approximately 2,785 non-resident OTC deer tags available. Cost of those is going to be $300. Plus you do have to have a valid hunting license, which is 160 for non-residents. I will note that there's a lot of opportunity if you want to hunt coos deer, especially in the southern end of the state, even mule deer in the southern end of the state. Those quotas typically stay open longer because there's just fewer people that are willing to go hunt early season, August, September timeframe down there where it's super hot. And so those the northern units actually fill those quotas a lot quicker. The other one I wanted to touch on, which will be interesting this year, is Idaho. So Idaho is going to a draw system for their general season tags for non-residents for deer and elk. Previously, you had to log in on the day that they went on sale. They would put you in like a virtual queue. They'd give you a random number. And then when your number come up, then you had the opportunity to purchase anything that was still remaining. And they have been doing that in years past. This year, they're actually going to go to a draw, which mixed emotions for people. Some people are pissed because they like the ability to like drive to Idaho. Like, hey, if I'm really dedicated and I drive to Idaho and I wait in line someplace, I have a decent chance to get a permit. For a lot of people, it kind of sucked because you had to be online that entire time. Yeah. And then you couldn't apply as a group. So I wanted to highlight that and just say that that's going to open up December 5th through the 15th. It is going to be a draw. You're going to have, I'm being told you'll have up to 5 choices. They're going to consider everybody's first choice before moving to anybody's second, third, fourth, fifth choices. You do have to buy a hunting license if you want to enter that draw. So Idaho is going to, if you want to enter the draw for those quote unquote OTC or those general season deer and elk tags, you do have to buy a hunting license, which is $185 for non-residents. Previous years, you could wait your line in queue, and if you didn't have any permits that were available that looked good to you, you didn't have to buy the hunting license because you didn't want to buy a tag, right? Yeah. This year, if you actually want to be considered in the draw, you are have to buy a hunting license, which I said is $185. So that's kind of a bit of a stinger. They will allow group applications, so up to 4 people can add to 1 application.
That's nice.
Which is nice.
That's a good change.
Because that was major beef for a lot of people. They were like, hey, I can't guarantee that I get the same permit as my buddy, or I get a permit and my buddy doesn't, right?
I haven't had time
to even look at it.
Read, and so I'm hearing this for the first time.
Yep.
The $185 stinger for sure. But that's a
good change. Nice.
I like the
group aspect. And I do like,
brought that back.
I like a draw, to be honest. Like,
I do.
Compared to what it was, it's like you had to be online, you know, and it was a draw anyway, right? You got like this random number in a queue. You're just going to wait. And it was like, oh, I got to wait in line and just kind of see what happens. And maybe there'll be something there. Maybe they won't. I think I like the fact that it just kind of takes all the guesswork out of it, you know?
It does suck. The waiting time.
Sure.
Purgatory.
Yeah.
That was the purgatory day when everyone would just wait in front of the computer.
It does suck for people that were willing to drive to Idaho. I get that.
I for sure get that
too. Yeah, me too. You don't have to pay an application fee, which is nice. They're going to waive that. So really all you got to do is be ready between the 5th and 15th of December, buy a hunting license, pick your 5 choices and apply. And then there is going to be a results. Those will be out early January. And then you're going to have a subsequent period of drawings after that on whatever is remaining. So you'll do it again and again.
Until all the quotas filled.
Yep. Yep. So the reason I want to talk about those is just because, like you said, you haven't even looked at it.
No.
I mean, we're still in hunting season, right?
Yeah, I haven't had time.
Yeah. I really haven't either, other than the fact that when I was driving back from Wyoming, I'm already thinking, like, what am I going to do next year?
Yeah, and it's your job.
That's my job.
That's a nice part of being up to date on all the applications.
Yeah,
and it's my job.
Yeah, but I mean, from a real, you know, selfish standpoint, I'm thinking, what do I want to do next year? And Idaho is kind of always up there in terms of, like, can I get an elk tag in Idaho? So that's what's had me thinking
about it. Speaking of, we doing the old antelope?
The old goats. We are doing goats somewhere next year, for sure. We should do two.
I agree. I got enough points in a couple
states. I do too. You and I have, we both do in the one state that we're thinking about. And then look at me turning into Brady.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Mexico. in Russia.
Yeah. But then, Idaho's another, there's a really good opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
There's good opportunities in Idaho.
Yeah, there is.
So there's draws, and then there's some that are guaranteed. So all you have to do is apply for said unit as your first choice, and you're guaranteed to draw it for the archery side of it.
Sabbatical.
Yeah. And it opens like the 15th, which is nice, of August.
Nice.
Same with the other state we're talking about. So yes. I think we could do probably two in one trip.
That'd be fun.
It would be way fun. And they eat better. Hence my jerky.
I like them.
Recipe.
I like them.
Cool. So I got that out of the way. Let's talk deer.
You want to talk pronghorn?
You're like me. I came home from Wyoming hunting elk, and I was like, why do I hunt elk? Pronghorn are awesome.
Dude, they're the wool. I mean, the two differences there.
Oh, yeah.
That was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Like driving through the valleys, and you're just passing
hundreds.
I mean, hundreds. And how many, like, good buck? I saw one absolute hammer. Mm-hmm. Like, hammer.
Oh, yeah. Like a no-brainer.
Yeah. And then I saw probably a dozen other, like, real nice bucks.
I know.
And then we're not even trying. That's just like driving the highway to then go into the mountains.
They're so fun to hunt. I talked to Hunter today.
Yeah.
He just came back from Wyoming. His father-in-law maybe and somebody else had elk tags. He said they were on public looking on to private. Have you talked to him?
No.
He said that one valley he was looking at from public looking into private, he's like, I'm not even lying. There had to have been over 1,000 head of elk.
I did not see that.
I did not either.
Like, not even close.
No, but isn't that wild?
That is wild. Thousands, a lot.
1,000 head. And I was like, that seems impossible.
But seems ridiculous.
Seems ridiculous. But yeah, he's like legit 1,000 head.
That's plus, a lot of feed.
Plus. That's a lot of elk.
That's a lot of feed. Imagine what they're going through a day.
Oh, for
sure. All those are in one spot.
Yeah, isn't that nuts? I wish they'd pushed them into where I was.
Yeah, no kidding.
But on a level of 1 to 10, like, how are you feeling about not going deer hunting this year?
Like, in what way is that scale? Like, sad, like, mad?
Like, yeah. Like
how bad do, like, I wish I had a
yeah,
tag?
Yeah.
I mean, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wishing I had a tag.
I feel the same in that, like, when I planned my season out and I was like, yeah, not a big deal. But as it approaches,
yeah,
I find myself jonesing pretty bad. Like, yeah, I wish I had a rifle, like, deer tag.
The main thing is I don't wish I had a, like, a good tag, a great tag. I wish I had a tag to take my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm...
Just to go out.
Now that I have nothing in front of me as mm-hmm. far as big game goes. And waterfowl's cool. Like, I'll take my kids. But mm-hmm. there's nothing like going, you know, windshield time, little day hikes with your kid.
Yeah.
You know, just shooting whatever comes out like that. Same. I wish I had that.
Yeah. The other thing, the other part of that that I'm jonesing for is the, it's like that what if. It's like that opening day, like, what am I going to find? Like, that I had when I was a kid, you know, like when I was 14, 15, 16, you know, like, we didn't scout ever, right? I remember getting up opening day and, you know, super early, we're going to leave from the house, and we were fortunate enough to live in an area like we could be in deer country in short order. But it was always just like that night before, the what if, like, getting all of our stuff together, got up early in the morning, 2, 3 in the morning, you know, go for a drive. And there's that, all that anticipation, like, building up of, like, what are we going to see when it gets light? You know, it's like that cold, everything's got a hard frost on it.
I know. I was scouting for ducks this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it was cold. Like,
yeah,
it felt so good in the desert. Like, mm-hmm. I'm in the desert, the wind's blowing. I'm like, this feels good. I wish I was looking yeah, for deer right now. Yeah, we've had
some mornings that froze. There,
feels good right
now. It's getting there. All the leaves have changed. Yeah. They're starting to come off a little bit, but yeah.
It makes you think of deer is what
that's
what it makes you think of. Like when I'm standing there looking at birds, I'm like, God, I kind of wish I was looking for deer right now. Like that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, and those bucks, man, being so grayed out.
Oh, I love it.
Real white face, you know, hard horn.
Now they're hard.
Nice chocolatey. Yeah. Big body. They just look so much bigger as they start to get closer to November time frame. You know, their necks start to swell, and those bucks just look like linebackers.
They've been on the roids for the last 2 months.
Isn't it cool?
I love it.
Yeah, I do too. I miss it, but I'll take my kid. But yeah,
At least you have that going.
I do too. Yeah. I just wished I had a deer tag somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much I would potentially miss it, you know, just getting to go.
You really do sound like Brady.
I know. Don't let him
know. You're talking about deer.
I hope he doesn't listen. He'd be the only one of us, the three of us, that would like listen to a podcast that we missed out on.
Yeah, 100%. I mean? Just to see what we said.
Yeah, exactly. He would. So I'm sure he'll hear it. But yeah, I didn't really mean that, Brady. I want to talk about some of your bucks, man. So I want to do a little round table. Just look at your, I want to look and I want to hear some of the stories.
Okay.
So you've got these ones that are on the wall. You've got some out front. But do you know how many deer you've killed?
I honestly, no.
Have you ever counted it up?
I've tried, but I feel like
I'm always
missing one or two or something.
Yeah, I don't know how many I've ever killed either. Which one of these is, do you have one that's a favorite?
If you asked me for a different reason, I would pick different ones. Like, I don't have one that's just an absolute, like, yep, that is mine.
What's off the top of your head, though?
Off the top of my head,
like
my favorite?
Like, if somebody walked in and was like, man, that's an incredible wall of deer. Which one's your favorite? What's the first one?
The top right, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not what I thought you would have said.
Really?
Uh-uh. Why?
That was with a bow in the late season.
Yeah.
In the plains of Colorado. Like, not where a buck like that is supposed to live. With my best friend, Clay.
Yeah.
Which I always get shit for always saying it's my best friend, but the fuck, it's who he is.
You got to have a best friend.
And it was just fun.
What time of year?
We were in November. I killed that buck on November 5th or 6th, something like that. I'd have to go through my camera
roll. Was he rutting?
Oh, so hard. Incredible video of him. It was where a buck's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, a buck like that is not supposed to be.
What kind of country are you talking?
Dead flat. I mean, just dead flat and wide open. Like, when I first, we had 2 days to hunt it, to kill it. It's in a place where there's tons of leftover vouchers. Like, there's like nothing to hunt out there. You know what I mean? So I'm like, let's go. So, went out there. Cause I had a fourth season tag on the West Slope and I turned it in and went to go do this for 2 days. And then when I saw the country, I'm like, dude, there's no way. Like, there's literally no way. And watched them for like a day, me and Clay. The reason why we had 2 days, that was my cousin Nico's senior year at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his last game. He played football for Notre Dame.
Yep.
It was his last game. So I had to be back in Vegas to then catch a flight from Vegas to Chicago to drive to South Bend. Bend, yeah. So I had that going, and the pheasant hunt out there started. And
pheasant hunt would blow them out.
And this is my first time. I don't know if you know about this, but like, I've never hunted the plains before. I've always wanted to. Like,
never. I've seen video and it looks incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when we were kids, you would always see a giant Kansas buck
in the plains.
And in the plains country. You'd be like, man, that looks awesome. It looks like incredible spot and stuff.
Yeah. So I did leave that out. I've always told Clay, like, man, I would really like to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he called me and he's like, man, I got the reason. You need to turn your tag in this year and let's go. I'm like, all right, well, I've told you I've always wanted to do this, so yeah, I'll meet you out there. So flew into Denver, drove out there, whole thing. But I had to be home in 2 days, and pheasant hunt started in 2 days. And everyone's out there says, like, well, as soon as the pheasant hunt starts, you can kiss it goodbye. Like, you'll have no idea where these animals are, because you'll have armies of people.
Just be bumping.
Just in all those little coolies and all these little breaks and everything, and who knows where the deer go. I'm like, well, guess we got to get aggressive. It's my favorite way to bow hunt, so might as well. So we watched him for a day and like got to know him pretty good. And then, the next day he was bedded in like this CRP grass right along a barbed wire fence. And the whole time we were going, it reminded me of when I would jump shoot snow geese in college. like when I would go out and jump shoot.
Yeah.
Like the whole time we're stalking them, and I'm telling Clay, I'm like, dude, I know what we're doing. Like I've done this a hundred times before. I've shot a bunch of snow geese, never a deer, but
yeah.
So anyways, like we're using the barbed wire fence, you know how all the grass like kind of piles up when it's windy in the late season like that, like all that CRP grass will blow into it and kind of like
bunch of tumbleweeds and stuff just blowing in the bottom wire. So
we kind of used that. Mm-hmm. We got in, we got in tight.
You like, crawling?
Yeah, oh yeah, hands and knees the whole way. I mean, I'm talking like a mile. I mean, you know when people say they army crawled for so long that their shoulders fell off? Or you know, people tell these stories. This was like my, have that story now in my, hunting career. I mean, we must have army crawled for, I mean, at least a half mile. Uh-huh. If I'm being like, that's probably more like it, but it felt like we did it for a mile plus, you know, just hours we were belly crawling.
When I think about the plains, I think about like, especially November, is it like a little overcast?
Oh, it's gray sky.
Flat, gray, windy. Flat gray light, yes. Windy.
Yes. Yeah. Like the harvest pick. I mean, it's gray skies, like that real smooth cloud, mm-hmm. gray cloud, like kind of the dog sun where it's kind of like a haloed out sun, you know? Windy, which is awesome because it's not switching. Like the wind is what it is. It's not switching.
And you get a little sound cover.
Yeah, so when you go, you can go. And they bedded in the CRP grass and we crawled up there and we got into like, I want to say like 70 yards mm-hmm. of him and I don't know, 10, 12 does. And we're waiting them out. And they all stood and just like
it always. Is he bedded just off the fence line?
He's on, he would be on the south side of the fence line. Uh-huh. If the fence line was running east-west.
Yep.
He was on the south side. We were on the north side using that, like where all that tumbleweed and CRP grass had folded into the, the
fence line. You're just behind it?
We're just behind it. And the wind's great and it was enough sound cover. So we got in tight. They all stood and I was getting ready to like pick my shot and draw. And just like always in the rut, he's surrounded by does. So I have no shot. The does start jumping the fence to our side.
Okay, to the north so they have side no the idea you're there.
Yeah, they have no clue we're there. But now it's like...
Yeah, now they're going to clear your line of sight.
Yeah, total clear line of sight, but we're laying there against the fence line, so we have no like silhouette in the background. We're against like a hard break background. And they all jump, and Clay is ranging them. Well... He's ranging these does, and I think he ranged, I want to say the closest one was like 52. They're fit like low 50s, if I remember correctly. I want to say it was 52. And the buck was the last one to jump. And when he jumped, this was a mistake I made kind of earlier on in my bow hunting phase, which is why I'm so mad at myself for this year. If we want to, you know, we'll get back into that
one. Yeah, I mean, if history's taught me anything, it's that I know nothing.
Yeah, right?
It's like starting over again every year. I'm like, gosh,
this is why
damn,
I got so good, though, on the years going forward of, like, making sure I take everything into account, is when he jumped the fence, he was at a different angle. He was actually angled towards us than where the does were angling away from us when they jumped the fence. And it's just something I didn't take into account. So he ranged. I dialed the 52. Buck jumps, takes like two or three trots because it's kind of hard landing when they jump a big fence like that. Well, he was kicked angled to us the whole way. So I shot him for mid 50s, went right over his back.
And
he ended up being like 42. I didn't take into account that he was actually, he jumped towards us.
Cutting yardage.
Where the does were jumping away from us. And because when they first stood up on the south side of the fence and were milling around, like I was trying to get a shot, but he was just covered in does. So like all the angles were changing. They were kind of like,
estimating a distance on an open plain is a disaster.
I'll tell you about it this year. I'll get back into it. But he did. And I shot over his back and they ran and busted. And I'm like, man, this isn't good. Like, we all have hunted animals. The second they feel pressure, like it's different, right? And that was mid-morning. That was like their first mid-morning bed. And this is what I love about the rut so much is they bed and stand 3, 4, 5 different times throughout the day, right? So now they took off running, gets out like a couple miles.
Did you just watch them take off?
Take off. And I'm thinking it's done. Like that was our chance. That was we had two days, you know? Well, Clay's an amazingly good hunter. And he's like, no, we'll, you know, the good news out here is like we're not going to lose him. So as long as we can see him, we'll figure something out. So he kind of talked me off the ledge, and I'm like, no, you're right. Like, let's stay out here, and we'll figure it out. So we watched him, and he's rutting his does, and ended up bedding again, like it's this one's going to be hard to explain because it's out in the absolute wide open. But they rebedded in the middle of the day. Now it's like 2-3 in the afternoon.
Same day.
Like my shot was probably at 9:30, 10 in the morning. Yep. Now it's like 3 in the afternoon, and they're finally rebedded again after doing some rutting. They ran away, and then they started to rut, and he was pushing his does around, and we were watching, and they rebedded. So then we made a move where we pulled out and around. We got back to the highway in the truck, went clear, circled way around him, and then came in from the east side. So we're walking east to west right at him now, and they're bedded like right off the other, this like little tiny roll. It's like the only way I can explain it is everything out there looks flat. Mm-hmm. My dog's going nuts. I knew he was going to unless I locked him in here. But it's like this little roll, and like nothing's perfectly flat out there, even though it looks perfectly flat. It's got a little tiny bit of topography. Mm-hmm. So we were walking in from maybe like a mile or two away from him, and obviously in flat land that goes pretty quick. So we get into where we're starting to like see more and more of his rack, right? Because that's sticking up higher than anything else. Yep. And we're starting to get to like, now we're seeing eyes and we're probably a quarter mile away. So then we start belly crawling again. And have you done this before? Like belly crawling for that long and then shooting a bow?
It's like, it's different. Everything's tight. Yeah.
Oh, it was that. Yeah. This was my
I'm
first.
I'm trying to remember, but yeah, I know the feeling.
Like it's my first experience at it. Cause you're like, posted up on your shoulders the whole time.
Yeah,
you're tensed up.
Yeah. And it's cold.
And it's freezing
cold. Yeah, windy.
Freezing cold. So we start army crawling again. And man, we got in like, I shot him at 26 yards.
No way.
Yeah, I think the closest doe to us, because the roll was maybe like 2 or 3 feet of elevation.
Uh-huh.
There was a doe we couldn't see that was actually on his side of him. We must have been 10 yards from that doe. Like, I don't know. So we had a silhouette decoy that we were using on that stock because it was so flat. So once we got there, he like kind of propped it up and I rolled onto my back
of
once we got in range of a doe deer, like a silhouette doe deer. So he propped up the doe deer and I rolled. We did the whole 1-2-3, like both move at the same time. Yep. So I rolled on my back, drew my bow.
From your back?
From my back.
And then set up?
Rolled over onto my knee and got up to see over the doe decoy. Yeah. And he stood up and it was so close. He didn't like, I already knew he was 26 yards because we ranged his antlers. But he stood up and I crushed him. And he went off running and watched him tip over and die. And it's like,
that's cool.
Just the whole day, like, taking the risk of turning in my tag to go on a hunt that I...
Yeah, that turned out.
Yeah, that actually turned out. And being with Clay and just everything else that happened that whole time.
Sometimes I wonder how much there is in that, you know? I watched a video the other night of Sequan, so Lee at Sequan. He just bought an OTC tag, some Midwestern state. I don't even know what state, but he ends up shooting like 188-inch whitetail that he stalks in. Same thing. Just flat light, creeps up on it, ends up probably 25 yards, probably inside 30 for sure. Yeah. Just so sick. But I think some of those, God, I don't know. There might be something to that. Just
when he told me 26 yards, I'm like, holy shit. I don't even know if we could get into 100. Next thing I know, it's 26 yards and it's like go time. And that's he props up the thing. I draw and get up and over it. And as soon as I get up and over it, it's when the buck stands.
Mm-hmm.
And the doe had already like kind of took off a little bit and he was like just getting ready to drop his hips and go.
Yep.
But 26 yards, I mean, I smoked him and then he ran off and tipped over and died and watched him laying out in the middle of a field.
And that one's your favorite just because of the whole experience of stock.
And like with the bow. That time of year.
Yeah, for sure.
Taking the risk of turning in a rifle fourth season tag.
That environment.
Yeah. It's like one of those risks that paid off. For sure. Which I have 100 other that didn't. But because that one did pay off, like that's a pretty meaningful one to me.
So one of my favorites, I'm going to say, is maybe this Lighthorn buck.
My very first buck.
Is that your very first buck?
Yeah.
That's the Nevada rifle buck?
Yeah.
That you're
12 years old.
No way.
Very first buck I ever killed.
You shot that at 12?
Yeah.
How big is that buck?
204.
That's sick. Was he that light?
That's what started. That's what started my
really
issues. Yeah.
So let me ask you. So the I know some kids this year that have killed some really big animals.
Yeah.
And they always say like, oh, you're, that kid's ruined for the rest of his life. Did it ruin you?
No, I think it made me more, more like, I'll put it this way. My son, what happened to me killing that deer, I would want to happen to my son. Cause okay, it made me so into it. Like it,
I was telling somebody the other day, they asked me, cause I was telling them I'm taking Owen hunting, and they were like, what you've been out, you've been looking, what's he going to shoot? And I was like, I'm going to make him shoot a 2-point. And they're like, yeah. I think I told you, I'm like, there could be a 190-inch deer standing there next to a 2-point. I
would make him shoot, a 2-point.
I say that tongue in cheek, but,
there is something to be said about working your way up, you know what I mean? As a kid, but like that was that. So I'm 12 years old back in Nevada when I was 12. I'm really not that old, which is the sad part about this. I was born in 87, so 99, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. That's quick math. Good job. There you
go.
You got to that one because I wasn't
good. I'm good with those smaller numbers. I'm good with 10 plus 2. I'm good with
99.
That. Yeah, 99.
I'd have been 21.
Yeah, so back then, which is sad to say because it's not that long ago and I have kids now, but mm-hmm. youth tags back then, you were guaranteed no matter where you put in for. Like no uh-huh. matter what, you had a youth tag. Like we had guaranteed youth tags.
Yep.
And when you turned 12 in Nevada, that's from 12 to 18 years old. Like you had your youth tag. And, I have an older brother who I've been hunting with my dad. I had been hunting with him and my dad. And I had been hunting with my dad a bunch too. I'd seen my dad kill quite a few deer at this point in the same unit. My dad was in the casino industry down here, mm-hmm. hospitality industry. He was friends with a guy named Nick Perchetti who lived in Tonopah, Nevada. Him and Nick were good friends. He would always take care of Nick down here. They kind of made friends through hunting my dad was always hunting up in that mm-hmm. country anyways. And that's where he took my brother, and him and Nick would, you know, always, it's like me and Clay almost, you sure. know, back in those days.
Good buds.
Just good dudes. Nick is a stud. He's such a good guy. He'd take my brother out when he was 12, and then now he's, my dad and him and me are going out. I have my tag finally. I've seen my dad kill deer. I've seen my brother kill deer. Like, I'm beyond excited, willing to shoot anything. My brother's first buck was a 2-point, mm-hmm. like straight 2-point. Yeah. Like, I mean, as 2-point as any 2-point like could ever get. Mm-hmm. I'm going up outside of Tonopah, and it's my time behind the gun. And, you know, my dad.
Were you packing your own gun?
Yeah, oh yeah. You 270. Are? Winchester 270. A 270. Wooden stock. Yeah. Yep. Silver. A silver scope on it.
Yep.
I still have it, which is awesome. But it's a silver scope, which is like you don't really see.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen a gun with a silver scope on it. Either. I don't even know
how. My brother's got one on, but it's, yeah.
And it's like a gray wood stock, Winchester 270. And I'm packing it. I was a big 12-year-old, though. I was like full grown at 12.
You had a beard, same beard.
Literally getting detentions. You had
that same beard since you were
the 12. Same, even the gray
in it. That exact same beard.
Even the gray in it. I'm packing my gun and like so excited to be hunting for myself. I'd been in the same mountain range with my dad, been in the same mountain range with my brother. Now it's my turn. And, we hiked to the top of this mountain. It was a pretty rough year from like, I'm 12, so I don't have a lot of
context,
mm-hmm. but like listening to my dad, listening to Nick, they still tell the story to this day because it's such a good deer. But like it was a rough year. There wasn't a lot of deer around. It was a pretty dry year. Like, you know, Nick didn't have a place to go like he always did with my dad and my brother. It's like, you know, not a, oh, there's a bunch of deer in here. We'll go in here. We'll have a blast.
You were like, just it'll going just out. Be fun.
Like it was just one of those ones like, ah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So we hiked to the top of this mountain. And we get there late, obviously, because I'm 12 and probably complaining the whole time, right? Like hiking up this super steep mountain. It's pretty, there's some spots out there that's like pretty big country. And we went all the way to the top.
Was your dad pretty good about, did he, so we talk a lot about like taking your kids.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm interjecting.
No.
Go ahead. You know, you take your kids and like, I think one of the biggest factors is to like try to help your kid have a good experience, right? So you want to keep them warm. Did your dad nurse you guys along at all? Did he like pack snacks? And
I don't know. Like I have a pretty bad memory about mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. Like it's very vague.
Sure.
But I don't have any bad memory. Like everything so he must about
have been,
hunting
must have been for good me, about taking.
So he must have been, right?
Feeding you treats.
Because I've had people ask me this before. I have no bad hunting memories of like, you know, being yelled at for not doing something right, or, you know, like dads who you hear people say like, oh, my dad would have put a boot in my ass if I made this mistake. I don't have any of that.
Yeah.
Like, I just remember nothing but fun and good. And it's my favorite memories with my dad, still is to this day when I get to hunt with him. It's like my dad and I's relationship is solely hunting. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where our relationship is. It's nowhere outside of that. And,
anyway, I cut you off.
No. So, he must have been, and even if I was taking a long time to get to the top, or whatever took us a long time to get to the top, I'm guessing it was me, but we got there like mid morning.
Okay.
And right at mid morning, my dad saw a deer go into a patch of willows. Like, it's a big sagey bowl. You know how Nevada is, kind of up in those big top bowls, like big sagey open, but there's all these little patches of willows and stuff. My dad caught a glimpse of a deer going into the willows and was like, hey, Nick, there's a deer. And so Nick looks and goes, holy shit, yeah, we're staying here. So they watch him bed.
So they just saw him.
Like a glimpse.
Okay.
Like just a total glimpse. And he walked into this little patch of willows. And no matter which way he goes coming out,
you get a crack at
him. We're gonna get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some pretty good, like, clear memories of this right here. Like, so I'm set up over a deadfall log. I have my gun set up over it, backpacks on the back. My dad had set me all up. I remember all of that. And I remember my dad and Nick constantly going back and forth. My dad's not a talker. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not a real overexcited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not a, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember
him. Even kill.
Yeah, it's super even kill. But I remember him, like, very talkative and very excited. Like, to Nick, like, is that...
Was he hunting as well, or just you?
No, just me. Just
okay, so you're the only one packing a gun.
Got you. He's like, did you see? Is that... Did we see what we think we saw? What'd you see? He had extras to this and that. Like, very talkative. And I don't remember exactly what he said. I don't remember if he said extras. I just remember him being very excited, which is, like, not... It's not my dad at all. So it's... You know, whenever your parent does something different, like, it's really noticeable.
Yep.
So the whole time I'm just like noticing how giddy my dad is, you know? And I'm eating Jolly Ranchers, vividly remember that. Eating beef jerky, vividly remember that. I had an orange Gatorade that's always been my favorite, orange Gatorade. And my dad, like it felt like every 2 minutes, it was probably every half hour, my dad would say, look through the scope, make sure you can you still see? Look through the scope. Don't take your scope off that. Can you still see? And I was getting annoyed with it. This is also one of my clearer memories, is how annoyed I was getting with, like, yes, dad. Like, you have 12-year-old. You
know? Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah. Well, and your perspective of time changes drastically.
Yeah, bro. I can see.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
An hour seems like forever.
And it was like 4 or 5 hours because it was a pretty warm day.
Yeah.
Which was good, being young and, like, not freezing my ass off on the side of a mountain. But... I mean, long, long day. And I remember way out in the valley, like way down in the valley, a truck was driving and it was making this huge cloud, this massive cloud. And it was a white truck. So it was just glaring in the sunlight. I mean, it's miles away, but you know how when it's hitting the windshield and everything?
Yeah, of dust.
Yeah, like the dust, the windshield, the whole thing. And we're all watching that go by. And the deer stood up to, like, check it out. And when he stood, I remember my dad like, go look, make it. And I put my eye in the gun, shot, and absolutely crushed him.
Do you remember much about the shot?
280 yards. And he was dead broadside looking away.
Gotcha.
Like dead broadside.
Do you remember if you made a good shot? Did you pull through it, jerk it? Or you just...
I don't remember that.
Okay.
I can just show you the harvest photo.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like
right behind the shoulder.
Right in the shoulder. I mean, just dropped him. No more shot. One shot, like, dropped him. But I'm...
Do you remember looking at him at all before you shot him?
Oh, no, I don't look at him. I don't look at him. Camo, calm down.
You had no idea.
No idea.
Just a buck that just your dad was excited about.
I mean, to me, truly, it was like just a buck.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It was, I got to shoot a deer.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was.
For sure.
All I knew was, like, I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen my dad do it, seen my brother do it. I've always wanted to do it. I was so jealous of them being able to do it. Now I finally just did it.
Mm-hmm.
We go walking down to the deer. And again, my dad is, like, jumping, hugging Nick, like, throwing me into the ground, bear hugging me. And I'm like,
yeah.
In my memory, this is just so different from my dad.
It's
just not. I'm looking at him like, who the hell are you?
Yeah. You know? Seeing him different than you'd ever seen him.
Ever seen him. Like, way different than I've ever seen him.
That's the thing, man. You're more excited. I think I'm more excited than my kid, even though he's excited. Like, I'm more excited for him, I think. Now, I think that's going to be my reaction, no matter what he gets.
Now, where I'm at in my life is just seeing my kid kill an animal, let alone a beyond.
Just get to be out.
Mm-hmm. Once in a lifetime deer. Mm-hmm. Like, just a cow elk, I'm going to be pumped.
For sure.
So excited for him. But then you add that on top of it. My dad had been hunting since he was 16 years old. He had, he's hunted the legendary Pontiacon as a kid. Because it was open back when he was a kid. He'd hunted all these great places. And so he knew what it was. Like, he had seen big deer. He'd hunted big deer.
Yep.
His uncle hunted big deer. So he was in that culture. And his son just killed a deer for the first time. And it's the truth. And I love hunting way more than anyone in my family. And I always had ever since a kid. So, like, mm-hmm. his kid who liked hunting more than anyone just killed a deer. So he's excited for all these reasons. And we spent so much time on the mountain. Just my dad was so excited and bear hugging still and cutting the animal. And can you fucking believe this? And I remember him saying this and yelling, can you fucking believe this? To Nick. And I'm sitting there like, I thought you told me I can't say that, and so I'm confused but excited as well.
Special occasion.
I'm wondering why my dad is being like that. Anyways, we butchered up.
Do you have harvest photos of that?
Oh yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, great ones.
God, I would love to see a 12-year-old Lorenzo.
Great harvest photos of it. And we pack them off down in the mountain. We get back to Tonopah late because it was a long hike in. It was dark. Like, I mean, dark when we got back to the gas station. Yeah. Opening day of youth season.
Yep.
It was dark. And pulled up to the gas station. And I'm still in the mindset of, like, I just killed a deer. That's mm-hmm. all.
Yeah.
And I remember, cars just started pulling up to the to the gas station. Nick must have called his buddies or something. I mean, I don't know. But, it was just one car. Then it was 5 cars, then it was 25 cars, then it was like, felt like the whole town of Tonopah. And everyone's,
I love that, man.
Pushing me and then like, oh my, you don't know what you just did. And, da, 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 da. And I didn't, which is entirely true. Now, being as where I'm at in life, it's like, yeah, that was incredible. It's the very first deer I've ever killed.
I missed that.
Over 200.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, because I grew up across the street from Otter Creek Lake, right? So everybody, every fall, it was over-the-counter deer tags. And I remember my dad putting up, the poles that people could hang their deer mm-hmm. from when they brought them back. And you get all these people from all over. A lot of them from Nevada and California. They'd come up and they'd camp for the week and they'd go out and hunt deer. But I remember as a kid, I'd get on my bike after I got home from school and I would ride my bike around the park, the camping ground, camping ground. Anyway, I'd ride it around and just look at all the deer hanging from the pole, all the mule deer and they're all different shapes and sizes. I look forward to that every single day when I go home from school, go ride around and look at all the deer that were hanging. People skin them out. Everybody got every deer ever when I was a kid, probably same as you, everybody got their deer out whole, right? Like they would gut the deer and they would drag that. It didn't matter how many miles they had to drag it. Everybody drugged the whole deer out. Nobody quartered anything. So we drug
my deer out.
Did you?
That's what took us so long.
Everybody did.
It was downhill the whole way.
Yep. Yeah.
But it was a long way though.
I remember my dad had a guy that worked for him that it was his first buck he'd ever killed, a 3-point, but we ended up passing his truck on, he was parked off the side of the highway. And I think we pulled over just to see what was going on. And he packed that deer out whole over his shoulders because he was like, I didn't know what else to do.
Campaign style.
Yeah, exactly. He gutted it, but he packed that whole thing out whole because I don't think anybody knew any different back then.
Yeah.
And they'd hang them from those poles and skin them out,
One of my favorite things about going to college in Montana was hunting season. Mm-hmm. Everyone would hang and skin in their garages and they would leave. I lived on a side of town that had a lot of hunters and, their garages would be open and animal would be hanging and it was totally accepted to just like stop, park, walk in and be like, hey.
Yeah. Tell me a hunting story.
Congrats, man.
Do you remember the like 50-gallon metal drums that Boy Scouts collect in deer hides?
Yeah.
Yeah. That just popped into my mind. Those were all over the place.
That was my favorite part about living in Montana was hunting season. They had their garages open and it was totally accepted to just walk up to somebody and be like, hey man, congrats. How'd it go? Tell me about it.
Same.
Looking at all these animals,
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I love that.
That was a special one.
Yeah.
What I remember more so than anything though is just my dad. That's what I remember, because he was so different than anything I had seen from him before. So more than the deer itself and the shot and the this and the that, I remember my dad being so different.
Yeah, you got to see a side of him that you never did.
Didn't even know existed in him.
I know. I think about that a lot because I've got three boys, and it's like, how well do I actually know my boys, and how well do they actually know me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when you get out into that environment where they are like disconnected from their day-to-day jobs and responsibilities of like running kids around, like, but more of their personality probably does get a chance to come out, you know, especially today where it's, I mean, you know, you get out into the woods, you can get away from your phone and have a conversation with your dad or your kids, you know.
I knew my dad a lot better after that day. I'll bet. Sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool.
What's this wide buck in the corner?
With the split?
Yep.
That was a Colorado third season deer.
How wide is that buck?
He's wide. I passed him.
Really?
Yeah.
Like for how long?
A morning.
And then went back and killed him when?
That like late afternoon.
Okay. So you didn't marinate on it too long.
Not too long.
Yeah, that buck's cool.
I was with my dad, which was cool. Mm-hmm. Like we've kept the tradition of hunting together. He had a tag as well. He always is like, he wants to have his boy. He's hunted so much and been able to do so much. Like, so it was total fluke. We were driving and saw him. Like, we weren't even out of the car. I was glassing him out of the window. And I set up a window mount on a spotting scope, took a video of it. Clay guides way down south. Like, so a lot of the times I'm out there. That's why, going back to that first story I told, I don't get to hunt with Clay a lot because he's always guiding people. So
you guys just keep it in touch.
So him and I, as close of friends as we are, like, we rarely get to hunt together.
Yep.
Because I've always got a hunt somewhere. He's always guiding someone somewhere. So very rarely are we together. And this is one of those things where I'm in Colorado. I'm less than an hour away from him, but he's guiding someone. We get no time together.
Yep.
So anyways, I'm with my dad, which is cool. And we're driving around just on those, there's, you know, the road systems out in Colorado. Like you can get a lay of the land pretty quick on some of those units, some of those second choice units. And, you know, I'm taking a video of him, digiscope. I didn't shoot him very long ago. I shot him in like 2018. Like, that's a pretty fresh deer.
You say that, but that was 7 years ago.
I mean, that's a long time, but it's kind of not that long ago.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And so I'm videoing, and I sent it to Clay, and we had, by the time like the text goes through and he sees it from his hunter, my dad and I had already pulled off and we were looking for something else. Like, I like bucks that are high and tight, heavy, tall, and like, width to me really isn't that big of a deal. I like big twisted up main beams.
I mean, the metric is 30 inches, right? When we were kids, that's all that mattered. You could have a 230 inch deer that was 25 wide and nobody gave two rips. Yeah. only question anybody ever asked.
That's what I talked to my dad about.
Is it 30 incher?
The glory days about the Poncegon, because when that was an open unit, that's when he grew up hunting. That's where he hunted with his uncle Bill Sartini. My uncle Heath's dad. That's where he grew up hunting, was on the Poncegon when it was a general, like, got the tag every year. I said, how many big deer did you see? It's like, I don't know. We always just looked for 30. Like, if it was 30,
that was the metric.
I'm telling you, though, now what I know deer are, like, I saw some amazingly big deer, like 20-inch twos, big wrapped up main beams.
24-inch gigantic, tall, he's, 4 points.
Yeah, he's like, I definitely saw those, but we never looked at them because they just weren't wide. But he said he saw a pile of, like, now that he knows what deer are, amazing bucks, you know? So anyways, I passed it because it just wasn't that tall. And I didn't think he was as big as he was either.
Yeah.
He was on a giant body, like, I mean, a horse body. And that's another lesson, too, is I never used to look real heavy at body size. And now I really do. It's like one of the first things I look at is body size. Because I didn't pay attention to it on him.
Yeah, buck and the buck above it are ginormous.
Ginormous
as far as their capes go.
Absolutely gigantic bodies. And so I didn't pay attention and we left. And then Clay, when he finally saw it, we had pulled away and kept looking at deer for, I don't know, we were probably 2 hours post when I sent the video to Clay. And Clay goes, what the F am I missing? Like, is he dead? And I'm like, no, he's not dead. He goes, why the F is that buck not dead? You need to go kill it.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, if Clay's saying that, like, he knows, mm-hmm. he knows the spot, you know? So me and my dad drove back, hiked in, went over one ridge and got super lucky. And he had just gone over one ridge. And so, like,
it was right there.
Really easy to find.
Is he rutting does?
Hard. Extremely hard.
How far of a shot?
220 yards. Like, as soon as we crested over, he was right there standing. I shot him quartered away. I have a pretty good kill shot video of that.
Oh, one. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen it. I probably have. It's probably been a hot minute.
Yeah. It was like prototype. That's one of the like more lucky ones I've ever had. Just because I passed, went back one ridge over.
You know, one of the weird things I like about that buck is the fact that he only has that like one eye guard. That's what I didn't like.
Really?
I like it.
Yeah.
Man, when I look at that buck, my eye goes straight to it. It's the first thing I notice about that buck is that eye guard.
That's what I didn't like.
And then he's got that extra. He's like a mainframe three on that right side, huh?
Not much mass, not much.
He looks pretty heavy.
I mean, not much length.
Body size, though, I mean, that looks like a gigantic deer.
He's a lot bigger than I thought.
Gorgeous cape.
He was a lot bigger than I thought.
Do you think that buck above him is the oldest buck?
Yes.
Of all the bucks you have on your wall?
Yeah. I aged him.
How old?
He was 11.
No way.
Yeah. A tooth aged him.
Where's that buck from?
Colorado.
Also?
2 miles apart from the one below.
And he's got giant eye guards.
I don't know if I'm blowing it up by saying it, because it used to be second choice. You know where I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know where you're talking.
I don't know if it's
going to... I don't know where it is now.
See it.
I haven't looked at it in a hot minute.
But yeah, so...
It's like I said, I spend most of my time looking at it. Yeah, and this is another question. It's maybe a good time to introduce it, but I spend so much of my time, because I mostly like to bow hunt, right? I spend a lot of time looking at odds for archery hunts, so probably 95% of my time. I don't spend a ton of time looking at rifle odds, but to me... Like in my gut, it feels like there's getting to be more archery pressure. Like more people are interested in bow hunting, which I think is great, because I think shooting a bow is awesome. You know, bow hunting's good in itself. But do you think, is rifle hunts like kind of slipping through? Is that like the new hidden gem? Do you think?
It's funny you say that, because I've obviously not had a very good archery season this year for a lot of reasons. My wife's situation, my situation, the elk hunt was not good.
Route was rough.
Yeah. And I think back and it's like, I've been so focused on archery hunting for so long now. Mm-hmm. We're to the point where I don't even want to look at a rifle hunt or even pick up a rifle, the thought of killing an animal with a rifle. Well, this season went so bad. it's funny how it like pops in your mind.
Yeah,
like,
flip-flop a little bit.
Might want to just go back to the basics here a little bit. And I was thinking about, mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a lot of people, and you think about culturally, mm-hmm. You know, not talking shit, but it feels like there's been a massive shift in the male demographic of mm-hmm. hunters that are like, want to prove their masculinity in bow hunting.
Sure.
I don't know, you know, it's like an ego thing.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's some really well-known guys that are bow hunters that are really promoting bow hunting, which is great. I think it's awesome, but...
And you and I are similar age where, I don't know if I'm going to make sense here, but like what I've seen is, you know, it used to be if you killed a big deer, good for you, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then it became like, did you do it solo? And then it became like, did you do it solo on BLM? Public land.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even public land anymore. It was like on BLM land. Like, was it outside of the wilderness? Was it outside of this? Yeah. Like, was it roaded? You know, did you do it on a BLM? And then it became like, were you solo BLM land?
Keep chipping
18,000 miles back in the backcountry. Yeah, did you camp out?
We keep chipping away at it.
You keep chipping away at like how, you know, quote unquote, credible mm-hmm. the harvest was. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now it's gotten down to the point where it's like, was it a general mm-hmm. archery, public land, solo, tent, bivy?
You got to check all the boxes.
What other boxes are there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you got bivy, most of them, for sure.
You know, did you have to pack in water 2 weeks before the hunt? It's like chipped away so much.
Sure.
Where I think so many people are focused on archery, mm-hmm. where I actually, it's funny you ask that, because I actually have started to think, maybe some of the rifle hunts I used to do, I could draw, because I want to, I need mm-hmm. to go back to killing.
Yeah, and for me, it's like a little. It's more right now at the forefront of my mind as we talk and as I think about it. A lot of it's nostalgia. Like I miss the feeling of going on an opening day rifle deer hunt. Like last cold. Year, I just went and it was cold. Yeah. And I took my kid, but it sparked a lot of that in me, like a lot of that memory. And then as I'm getting ready to take my kid out, it's kind of starting to bubble up and surface just like that level of excitement. And, you know, looking back to the way I grew up and the way we went rifle hunting and, you know, going with my dad, and I've said it before, but like we always used to listen to playoff baseball on AM radio. Yeah, that's like yeah, I've told it every ad nauseum, but it's like a very distinct good memory that like I have, and it's that that's kind of starting to like spark up in me. I'm like, oh, I'm really looking forward
to
that.
Your kids are hunting age.
Yeah, my
now.
Kids are getting hunting age, so
I can see it.
Yeah, especially my youngest, who seems to be the most into it. But yeah, I think it's interesting. And like I said, I'm not saying that, hey, the new hidden gem is going back to rifle deer hunting by any means, because I don't look at odds enough and for those hunts to say.
But I think there is.
It wouldn't surprise me.
With us just guessing and not having looked at it, like I said, it's funny you say that, because the other side of this too is where I'm at in my life with family and business and stuff too. I mean, my archery hunt turned into 25 days. I can't do that. I shouldn't have done that this year. My family took a massive hit because of that. My wife took on way too much responsibility because of it. And so I started to think like, man, am I back into the 6 to 8 day rifle hunts and just that's it, you know? And then you start thinking about so many people have slid into archery. Yeah, maybe there's something to it. We both had the same thought. Maybe there is something there.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm gonna take a look at it for sure. Yeah, I'm okay with rifle hunting deer. I like rifle hunting deer, to be honest.
For sure.
Tell me about this buck. So the oldest buck, you said you aged him.
Yeah.
11?
I shot him the year before I shot the one we just talked about. A couple miles away.
You had his teeth, tooth age?
Yeah.
11?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I found that buck. I shouldn't even say I found it. That's actually a terrible way to say it. I got insanely lucky. I was with my wife. Not at the time. We boyfriend, girlfriend dating. At the time. Uh-huh. It was the first I said, hey, do you want to come see
what
like,
I
this
do.
Is what I love.
Yeah.
And this is a great hunt for you because it's a lot of window time. It's like if we do day hike, it's pretty short. It's, you know, third season.
Yep.
A lot of roads, a lot of public land, a lot of like public private games. So you're never far from the truck. It's like pretty fun when you're close to town and go back, get breakfast, the whole deal. I'm like, you know, not one of those grinder style hunts.
Mm-hmm.
And we were driving back from scouting. I wanted to be out there on my birthday, which is November 11th, and the hunt opened the 13th. So we got there the night of the 10th. We scouted the day of the 11th and had a lot of fun. I actually shot a couple coyotes that day too, which was pretty cool. And, you know, just having fun, just like a lot of window time, her and I getting to know each other.
How long have you been dating? Do you know? Do you remember?
March. So
okay,
whatever, March to November.
Yep.
And we were like serious, for sure serious at the time. I knew I was going to marry her for sure. So we're driving around and sun goes down. We're driving back. The sun goes down so early in November. You know what I mean?
Short
so
days.
We're going back. We're going to the Mexican restaurant. It's like the go-to spot.
Yep.
And we're coming down off the county road and that deer crosses the road right in front of us in the headlights. So me saying I found it is completely wrong. That is not what happened.
He found you.
He found us.
Yeah.
Like insane.
It happens.
But 2 days before the hunt, third season still going on. And so now I'm nervous. I took cell cam, like not even phone scope, like literal just cell phone out the window as he's in the headlights.
Because he's
50 yards ahead of us, you know. And he dives off into this public private like kind of mess down there. In down in one of these valleys, and that's where I had it became pretty known through some of the other like influencers out there, this public private area. You know what I'm talking about. And so I'm like, man, he might get killed. There's still a day left of third season, you know, I'm sure, whatever. So I go back out that morning, wake up early.
Four season tag?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Wake up early. This is before the the dates had changed, everything. So it's still pre-Thanksgiving, the 5 day hunt pre-Thanksgiving. So it's the 13th through the 18th is what those dates would have been. Cause I remember I found it on the 11th. I had a day of third season hunters and then because now there's a gap in between third and fourth season. This is back when they would all run together, remember? And they all ran together.
I'm trying to remember too.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it started the 14th and I just went out real early to be there for my birthday.
Yeah.
Because we jump shot some ducks. We hung out.
Yeah.
I stayed at Clay's house even though Clay wasn't there. It was, you know, I wanted her to see like that style of my life.
Yeah.
So I went out there. I can't remember how many days. Anyways, it's kind of beside the point. There was a day of third season left. So I woke up super early, went out, parked on the highway and just like was looking for headlights and telling my wife like, hey, this is kind of how it works, you know?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Saw some headlights and things and I'm like, man, I don't know. And sun comes up, don't see the buck. There's only one other hunter that's up on the BLM knob that you can actually hunt this like BLM public private piece. It's like this big T.
This is opening day?
Yeah. This is last day of third season.
Okay, gotcha.
So whether there's a gap day before fourth or ran into each other, I can't remember. And I'm up there like just seeing, am I going to hunt this deer or is he getting killed? Because where he crossed was on that public T. Like, man, if he's there in the morning, he's probably going to get killed. It's a secret spot, but like, no, that's secret. And sun comes up, no buck, one other hunter, and no buck. I'm like, interesting. I don't know where he would have went. We go back, get lunch, hang out. We go back out. We're just kind of cruising around looking at animals, looking at all like the private land where all the deer are rutting. I'm showing her how cool it all is, everything. We go back up, pull up just to see. We get all the way to the top of this county road, which is all public or all private rather. And he's standing 20 yards off the road, that same buck. And so I took incredible photos
that evening.
I had a Canon. I got into photography. Yep. Like I'm still into it now, but that's when I really started. Yeah. I had a real long lens. I had a Canon camera, took some amazing photos of that deer. I'm like, well, he's on private. So I guess he's not getting killed today.
Yeah.
So whatever. 2 days late, so opening day, he's not there. Second day of the hunt, he's back where he crossed the road, and I killed him.
Just like that. How far of a shot?
That was actually
a poke?
Not a poke, but like three. It was over three.
That's a good shot. That's,
yeah.
That's decent.
It's like over three. He's all cool postured. He's postured up on a smaller buck.
Really?
Trying to run him off, and I shot him.
Yeah, his cape is ginormous.
Yeah.
Big old white throat patch. Looks like his chest would have been humongous.
He was.
It looks like an old
deer. He was a horse body too.
11 is old for a public land buck, especially in that kind of area. I don't know. It's interesting.
Public like, private?
Yeah, public private. But I mean, any deer in that area playing the game. I mean, that's a giant old deer.
There was a buck that got killed in there the same year though.
Yeah. Really? Oh. An absolute stomper.
Oh. 45 plus mass, big old tripod on the right side.
How big is that buck?
I think he's
190s.
Yeah. I think he's over 190 typical.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
His eye guards.
Eye guards really added a lot.
Yeah, like, for sure. They got to be five and a half, six inches at least, I would say.
Yeah, the eye guards are gigantic. He had that short front right, which is the only, it didn't bother me at all. I thought it was cool. I found him on my third, like, again, didn't find him. He found us on my 30th with my wife. I thought that was pretty cool. Like, that's the one I want to kill.
It's interesting it's just cool. It's just like an observation. Sometimes like it just becomes more prevalent as you get a chance to talk to somebody. Yeah. It's like you go out and hunt, right? And you hunt for a lot of reasons. I hunt for a lot of reasons. I would say probably, I mean, everybody right now, they're going to say, yeah, I hunt for the meat. I hunt for the meat too. But I wouldn't say that that's like first and foremost, like
I hunt for the meat, but
the reason that I hunt.
I'm for the adventure, the experience, the
what if. All of it, right? The memories, everything. Like, yeah, I'm just.
The moment, all of it.
I just, as you're talking, like you can tie all these moments in your life that are like going on in the season to like the different animals that you've got on the wall. That's what's like.
Really, I think it's the best piece of art on planet Earth.
It's really resonated with me. Like the opportunity to take what would become your wife. And as you were talking, I'm just like thinking, cause we've had, you know, Turtle and Romeo in the office in the last few weeks that I've been down here. Right. And like, I don't see those kids very often. I see them from time to time when I'm down here, but like you have this whole life. It's like growing out of it, right? Like two boys and they're in sports and getting bigger and your wife, Taylor's awesome. But like that grew from like, you know, you guys getting to know each other. And it's like tied absolutely to this moment in Colorado when you guys were out cruising around yeah through the sagebrush and you looking at deer.
I couldn't help but think, like, in the moment too, like, man, having a buck cross the road before you're going to mm-hmm Mexican restaurant, coming back from scouting, you know, the girl you want to marry that you're thinking about it, mm-hmm, you don't know, you know, you're just kind of thinking through yeah everything. And this buck crosses the road and then you kill it with her, you know, 2-3 days later, whatever that would have been. It's like, is this a thing? Like, is yeah this doesn't happen, you know? Like, that just doesn't happen. You kill
that's
a buck
what's
like
cool
that
about
you find it yeah crossing the road in the headlights.
Yeah. That's what's cool about these, though, is that you can look at them and they immediately take you back to a time and a season, and not just like the hunt itself, but like everything that was going on in your life. Yeah. Like that whole relationship that developed out of that yeah time and that season in your life that's now developed into like this family and all the business, the whole thing and everything.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It is wild.
It's fun to sit and listen to.
That's why I say it's the best piece of art on planet mm-hmm Earth, because you hear people talk about art. Mm-hmm. Even not no hunter, no anything. You hear people talk about art and they look at a picture and it's like, man, this picture makes me feel mm-hmm whatever. And that's why they buy it and they put it on their walls, because when they look at it, it makes them feel whatever feeling they liked about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you should hunt. Because when you put yeah an animal on your wall, like
yeah
you times those feelings times a million, mm-hmm, because you have the actual visceral, real memory mm-hmm of it. Everything that came with it, and then everything that came after it as well.
Yeah, know? And I don't know, like, if you haven't done that, you can't, I don't know that you can really relate, because I think so many people, they look at something like this wall or that wall, and they look at it and they think they're just like, ugh, you yeah know, that's a, you know, you're trying to,
barbarian.
You know, barbarian, prove your machismo, yeah, right, of like, what a big man that you are, right, like, by you killing this animal and putting yeah it on the wall, but it's not that at all.
Literally not
like
at all.
Like, not, it couldn't be further from the actual feeling of no what I feel when I see an animal yeah that I've had put on my wall.
Yeah. Like, that buck is probably the best example, because every time mm-hmm I look at that buck, I just think about me and my wife.
Sure.
Like, that's when we really got to know each other.
Yeah, but I mean, as we've talked today, it's like, you know, you and your dad, your first buck.
Yeah, true.
Your feeling of your dad, your relationship, getting to know your dad, you and your wife. You that's know, true. It's
actually, your it is all of them.
Your best
sure
friend, Clay. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's so much more than...
That's why that upper right one,
yeah,
Clay and I got to hunt together
yeah
for the first time. Maybe, I think that mm-hmm was the first time we ever got to actually hunt an animal together.
Mm-hmm. Which is super cool. Awesome. I'm going to ask you the last one is maybe the top middle one.
Yeah.
What's that about?
That was Henry Mountains in 2009. Graduated college, had the Henry Mountains tag, and got insanely lucky.
So you were graduated college?
No, I was junior yeah year of college.
Okay.
Did I say graduated?
I
sorry
can't,
if I missed
I might have misheard.
I was junior year of college.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I did say graduated.
So you're in Montana?
Yeah, I was in Montana. Henry Mountains tag, 2009.
Did you know what that tag was when you drew it or got it?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
You felt it?
For sure.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many bucks did you look at? Do you remember?
So
that was like
Adam Bronson.
Yeah.
Who's an incredibly good hunter.
Yep.
Knows where basically everything that big lives. We had good relationship with him and booked with him. So that was a guided one, because it's Henry Mountains. I mean,
yeah, yeah,
it's kind of one of those things where you're like, man, off. If I have this, mm-hmm, let's do it.
Yep.
And Adam is one of the kings of that, especially back in 2009. And my grandfather died in September, and that hunt was October.
Gotcha.
So it's like, that's what I, that's an interesting one for me, because mm-hmm it's the biggest animal I've ever killed. Like,
Any species.
Even if you stretch it across, like, what's a comparable elk? What's a comparable yep antelope? I don't know.
How big
like,
is it?
He's 244. He's damn just gigantic. It's absolutely gigantic. And it has everything, you know, like
yeah
anything you could, which I've never, and I genuinely mean this. I've never cared about score or
sure
number or anything. I love.
The only reason I ask is just.
I love character. I love look. I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that buck has it all. So obviously he's going to mm-hmm score big, right?
Right.
Well, Adam had found him, had scouted him. And he'd also had another really big typical that was a straight four, but it had like these cool wavy beams.
Yeah, floaters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I'm like, you know, I like character. Mm-hmm. I like mass. I like all this stuff. I'm like, I'm not saying, obviously everyone's going to say, yeah, it's because it's 244 and not a typical, but there's, I mean, a big typical is cool too. Mm-hmm. It's just, that's what I liked better.
Sure.
So we were in a spot. The really interesting thing is we were in a spot that there was not a lot of deer. Mm-hmm. This is how good of a hunter Adam is. Like everyone, I must've saw, I can't remember how many tags were in there, like 20. I can't remember how 20, 25, something like that. I must have saw a dozen trucks drive past us deeper into the mountains. We were in a spot that you would not think to stop.
you guys are just hanging out
by ourselves.
Really?
And we hiked, we packed in, Bibby hunted. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had a really cool encounter with buffalo.
Okay. Like
we
I want to draw that tag so bad.
We hiked clear. I do too.
Oh man, I want that one. Because of this deer
too and the experience I had. We hiked clear to the top. I'm not going to say which mountain because there's only three.
But it's October?
Yeah, October. Rifle hunt. Yeah, it actually was pretty cold.
Yeah, it gets cold.
Mid-October. Mm-hmm. We hiked clear to the top. We sleep. We're in there 2 days early.
Mm-hmm.
We sleep at the top in this, you know how buffalo will make those like big dust bowls?
Yep.
They'll kind of beat it all out and that's mm-hmm. what they roll in. That's what we were sleeping in. So this was my first entry into like troop bidding style, you know.
You're sleeping in a bison dust bath.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And wake up, don't see him. First day of scouting, wake up, don't see him the second day of scouting, but we do see the 4-point with the wavy beams. Yep. And I'm like, God, it looks a lot better than the digiscope footage, you know.
Especially
back then, digiscope wasn't like that.
Especially when you're out there and you have a tag in your pocket.
Yeah, and you have a tag in your pocket.
For sure.
The opening morning. So now we've had the 2 days of scouting. Opening morning, wake up, and we have a legitimate, we're eating oatmeal. Remember it so vividly. We're eating oatmeal out of the wax packets because mm-hmm. we went in light.
Oh, yeah.
We're just pouring the
Quaker oats.
Yeah, we're just poured the boil water into the to the wax paper and just stirring it up. And look up, and Adam and I are like, holy shit. And we've got 3 or 4 bulls that are trying to come into this dust bowl we've been living in for the last 2 days, and had a full-blown 20-yard standoff with 3 bull
buffalo. Bison.
Cow. And it was like, it was nerve-wracking. I mean, they didn't do anything, right? But it's like,
these things are giant
massive, and we're where they want to be.
Yeah.
So Adam stood up and started like shooing them off and everything. Like, God dang, this is crazy. That's opening morning, we go off. And then Aaron Bronson, his brother, mm-hmm. was helping us. He was on the glass on the other side of the ridge to look back towards us. So we're looking towards Aaron. Aaron's looking towards us. And can't find him. Just can't find. So we hadn't seen him for 2 days. Now it's the 2 days of scouting. Can't find him on opening morning. And my grandfather, who the patriarch of the family, like he was everything to our family, my mom's dad, he had died a month before this.
Mm-hmm.
And like super close relationship to him, everything. It's kind of a bittersweet.
You're close to him as a kid?
Oh, beyond close.
Really?
Like absolutely as close as you could ever be to a grandfather.
Gotcha.
Did everything for us. His whole life was the grandkids. Yeah. Like he was such a good person. So it was a hard year that he ended up passing because he passed kind of unexpectedly mm-hmm. too. We got some news that he was in heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some news that he was doing better. Mm-hmm. So all of us kind of got excited.
Yeah.
And then
he passed just like suddenly
gone.
Gotcha.
So we got the news that he was doing better. And then we got the call.
Darn.
It's like, it was crazy. And that was in September.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's October. It's like not that far gone. And the whole time up there, I was just kind of thinking about that. Right. When you're glassing tons of quiet time and it's like still a pretty heavy feeling. And I was in the middle of thinking about him mm-hmm. and Aaron calls on the radio. I got him. I'm like, had to snap out of it.
Yep.
And he's way up top in an avalanche chute, like way up at the top, not where he
had been.
He would always been down in this like basin. Now we're thinking we're above him. Like,
yeah, he's above
him down and he's above us in an avalanche chute.
Gotcha.
And so we're like scrambling. So we end up dropping down like, I don't know, 100 yards and kind of like scooting across this shelf. And I ended up having to shoot. I have a picture of how vertical I was having to shoot.
Uphill?
Like beyond uphill.
It's are you in a pretty sitting position?
Yeah, like seated I'm seated against a burnt tree. I might give it away a little bit because it was in the burn. But
with your back against the tree?
Yeah, and I'm like leaned clear back.
Yeah.
310 yards or 320 yards, whatever it was.
You have a front rest somehow?
Yeah, I had bipod. Gotcha. Front rest bipod.
Big long one.
Yeah. Giant long one. Hit him, and then he rolled down the avalanche chute and mm-hmm. broke off a couple cheaters.
Yep.
And this is, I'll always remember this, Aaron, of Adam and Aaron too. He broke it off, and I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like this deer, I mean, first the tag, then the deer, then we find him. We didn't know. We were kind of thinking about the typical.
Yep.
It's like, and they spent, I don't know how many hours they spent going up and down and up and down and up and down the avalanche chute, and they found the two cheaters that broke off. Yeah. They found both of them.
Dude, what's it like walking? I mean, I've killed a couple of pretty big deer, but nothing. I mean, I think anything over, I would say 190s, like in my book, is like walking up. When you walk up to a buck,
that's even 180s. Yeah, it's like a built framed.
Yeah, I mean, typical. I've got some 180s that are just like, yeah, it's a nice buck. But like, I feel like when you tip the scale, like, and again, score, when we're talking score, just as a metric of like how you measure a buck, right? I mean, I don't care, but like, yeah. It seems like when you get to the 190, it's like, man, when you walk up on that kind of buck, it starts to
not make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at that and it's just like, there's definitely.
What were you eating?
Yeah, there's a whole new feeling and vibe. But I can imagine walking up on that buck must have been pretty incredible.
It was pretty wild.
Like, because they grow, right?
Beyond.
Yeah, I mean, the big bucks that I've killed, when I felt like they were big bucks when I killed them, but walking up on them, it was like a whole other
I deal. Remember,
I'm like, man, they're bigger than I even thought.
And when we walked up and like lifted his head up,
mm-hmm.
Adam, Aaron, me, all of us were like, I didn't even know he had that. Look at that point right there. Like,
right.
We didn't even know he had that. And it's like when they get that big, you pick them up and it's like, yeah, you didn't even realize some of the stuff that he actually even had going on.
And I will give Brady, because I know he's a mule deer nut, but like that is the cool thing about mule deer is that they all are so
different.
I mean, even a 2-point, beyond 3-point. I mean, even young bucks, they're all just different, you know? And I love picking them up and looking at them, or just like having them on the wall like this, where you can look at all the little intricacies of the different points and the way the beams come off and the width. I mean, like that buck, I'm looking how wide that buck is, even in his main beam, as it kind of hooks out and sweeps forward, you know?
And still has long beams to sweep all long. The way forward.
Too. Yeah. I mean, that buck that you killed, that's your first buck, he's got those giant main beams, but they come up and turn up.
His stay out.
Yeah. Like out and then hook up. Yeah. Yeah. And then the other ones kind of come together like a more traditional whitetail look or something, you know? Each one of them is so different, the way that they're built. It's fascinating. Well, cool, man. I won't take your whole day, but no. I appreciate it. That was fun to hear. I mean, it's just a good time of year.
This one right here. I want to.
Yeah.
The big tip.
I didn't even ask you. We could be here all day. We could talk about
that one's on video too, which is really cool.
The one on the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wyoming.
Oh yeah.
That's Wyoming
that buck. Yeah. High country buck.
Bo Beatty.
Yep.
That was packed into the backcountry with Bo Beatty and Randy Newberg. We had a hunt camp together.
That's right.
And I got to know Randy really well on that hunt. I have an insane amount of respect for him as a person and as a hunter from that hunt. And then also Bo, watching him battle. Cause he was in the middle of cancer treatments,
that's right.
But he absolutely refused to let me and Randy down.
Yeah.
I think that's the coolest story of that whole thing.
Yep.
Bo went through hell on that hunt. We all three ended up killing. So that's a real meaningful animal on my wall too. Not for anything else, but like the amount of respect I gained for Randy as a person, I already had it for him, but that's the first time him and I really got to know each other.
Yep.
And he genuinely blew me away just as a human and as a outdoorsman. Mm-hmm. And then, which I guess is not surprising because everyone loves Randy, you know?
Uncle Randy.
But even more than I was expecting. Like, he's just genuinely a great guy.
I agree.
All the way around. And I got so much time with him in the backcountry. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated that. And that's where you get to know somebody more than anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bo as well. Like him, the shape he was in.
Yeah.
And what he still did. Like, I think that hunt was hard. That was a physical, hard hunt. Bo was in the middle of cancer treatments and did that hunt.
Yeah.
So imagine, you know.
Yeah.
And he still, like, he refused to let us down. He went. He was there.
Yeah, but knowing full well, there's probably no place on planet Earth
he would rather be.
Yeah.
That was a good one. And it's on and video, which
probably
I think
that
is cool
much
too.
More in that state, in that condition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm sure that the reality of his health probably even brought it that much to the front of your mind and where you want to be and what matters, you know, and what kind of experiences you want to have.
But you hear people going through those treatments and how tired they
are. Yeah, for sure. I'm
and
sure.
The elevation, what the elevation did to him and how tired he was. And he would still just wake up and grind it out.
The buck has deep forks.
Beyond deep.
Yeah. Randy is fun to talk to. Do you know, it's you were talking about Randy. So I think everybody knows Randy. Everybody loves Randy. They know him as, like, you know, from the content that he does, whether it's, you know, the Fresh Tracks, the show, or, you know, the conservation. But I will say, the times that I've had to just, like, sit and talk to Randy, like we were hunting camp with him in Arizona one time, and then the times that he's been in the office, and of course we film the content, we do, you know, the podcast or wherever, you get a chance to sit and talk to him. But like the times when, you know, I just, like, leaned up against the wall. Like, I remember one time I met him at, it might've been the first time I actually met him in person, I'm trying to remember, but I met him in Boise at the BHA rendezvous. And I remember they had, like, the big, you know, town square kind of closed off. They had music and food and everything. I remember he and I just, like, standing on a corner of a building, you know, you prop your foot up and one of us is leaned up against a pylon. Yeah. And I think we talked for probably 45 minutes, but, like, that was one of my very favorites, just to get to know Randy, just to talk to Randy. Randy's such a good, really,
he's the best.
Really fun to talk to.
And he's so smart about everything.
Fun dude to talk to. And genuinely loves it. Loves the outdoors, which is my favorite. But yeah, that was a cool bike. What, do you remember the film? Do you remember the name?
No, I'm trying. That's what I was trying to, like, the name of it. It's on Randy.
Yeah,
Randy's the one who did it.
Yep.
I was on his.
Yeah, right.
Bo and I were on his channel with him.
We'll have to see if we could find a link to it.
Yeah, I can't remember
link to in the episode.
The name.
That was a really cool, a great shot. It was a cool shot downhill.
I mean, depends on what some people say, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I missed him twice, but yeah.
But the one you finally, but
the wind and elevation and
the difficulty of the shot, I remember being like, it looked like a really tough
difficulty. It is the hardest shot I've ever made. Now the great thing is when there's that much wind,
mm-hmm.
like, they don't really know what's going on.
Sure.
So I hit two places at the exact same spot.
Did you have a spotter? Were you?
Yeah,
just,
Randy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I shot and hit, and Randy, you know, drifted, and it was a little high because of the angle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, let me. I'm holding exact same spot because he stood. He just kind of lifted his head from feeding and looked around.
Yep.
And it hit exact same spot, and he ran about 20 yards closer and stood sideways. And I'm like, okay, I have verification that. That's what's going on with mm-hmm. the elevation change and wind and all that stuff. So then I just down dialed a little bit,
held for
wind and hit him.
Although I've been seeing a bunch of pictures.
Depending on some people think is terrible shoot. I happen to think that's some of my, in the high pressure moment, like I was actually, I got done. Like when that all was done, I'm like, man, I held that together. Like Randy and I worked together. That was not an easy shot. Like,
I mean, I won't speak to rifle hunting, but I know in bow hunting, there's not a harder shot in the world than making a shot after you've just missed.
Oh, it's
an so edible. Hard. It's like panic mode times a thousand.
Then you get the adrenaline dump,
and then you have to try to put your shit back together and execute another shot. That second shot is way harder. And then you're shooting an animal that probably knows you're there.
Yeah.
You know, I know at least the times I've had that happen, I'm like, oh.
I hit him hard enough. I hit him like last rib, blew out the front lung, liver, last rib, and then he went and laid down.
Yep.
And he was hurting. So then I snuck in and put him out.
The part that I remember is I remember the scenery, and I remember you're shooting down into a canyon, right? And he's kind
way down
into a canyon. He's kind of above some pines.
The video doesn't show that elevation.
Yeah, I just remember
very well.
And it might have been from talking to you or watching, and just remember thinking, man, that looks like
it was so steep. We were at the very, very top, and he was on the front face of a saddle. So the wind's howling through that saddle, and there's no wind for us. But you know, anytime it's the cold weather and it's warming up, and anywhere in the saddle, you know that. Like anytime you walk through a saddle and
September,
it's like it's blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, that's what. So if anybody says that, you know what? I thought it was good shooting.
I mean, he's right there.
That's what I said too.
That's hunting, right?
I don't know, man, but he's right there.
I've been seeing, you know, because Wyoming rifle deer is open in those classic high country, whether you're in G or H or whatever it might be. I've been seeing photos of those, and man, it looks so cool.
That was just that high
alpine deer that are.
I've never been more jealous of cowboys though, ever.
What do you mean the horse? Oh yeah,
never been more jealous.
For sure.
I was looking at Randy the whole time. I'm like, Randy, we got these llamas? I'm seeing all these people on horses. Yeah. Like, what are we doing?
I know. and they're out just riding, covering country. Just
way ahead of us.
Yeah.
Like, way ahead of us. And he's like, no, they, you know, they won't get into the steep stuff, this and that mm-hmm. and this. I'm like, yeah, it's probably right. And it was 100% true.
Yeah. No, it's the best time of year though. It is fun.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing. I should say. It was fun just to, I say this selfishly, it was fun just to sit and kind of hear your perspective and hear the stories. And a lot of
it was actually kind of fun to go through.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in a while.
And some of them I've heard before, but it was fun to get to hear some of the details, which is my favorite part of this whole thing is like I said, the things that were going on in your life that yeah. are more than just a rack on a wall, you mm-hmm. know, which was cool. So I appreciate that.
I will say one of the most meaningful bucks is tiny and not in here. It's a double beam 3-point, but it was the first year with a bow that my son ever got to see. That was cool.
That's right.
He's not on this wall, obviously, but mm-hmm. he's at home in my son's room. That's like a
super... Do you have a Euro of him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his room over bed.
He's in Turtle's room?
He helped me pack it out.
Really? You
know, quotes.
Yeah.
He held the tenderloin in both hands. Yeah. Like he held the two and he's walking. I have pictures of it. Yeah.
Really?
I have pictures of it. It was
How old was he?
Three? Four? That's four? So he was 4 years old.
That's so cool.
I got the pictures, like this, the Euro mm-hmm. mountain and the pictures below it. It's
yeah.
the first one. Cause with a gun, it's like loud and things and mm-hmm. it's far. You can't really see. I shot that buck at 52 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He was right there and he like watched him run off and die. And we saw him tip over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you got to follow the blood. Like go find it. You know? Yep. So he's going, that one, that was so awesome.
I have a buck that I killed when I was probably, I want to say 17. I was with my dad and my brother. All the details aren't that I made a really good shot on it, but it's a 3-point and he had one little kicker that he'd broken off. But the thing I remember that sparked it, my dad, when I got home, he hand built, you know, like one of the, so you take the skull plate, you put it on a board.
Oh yeah.
He hand cut like the arrowhead shape, you know, the classic arrowhead shape that you would see. And then I remember him, like sanding it super smooth and then, finishing it, stained it. And then he did all the leather work around the skull cap.
That was the best. The leather work needs to come back.
The leather work. And he molded it with clay. So it was like nice and rounded out. And do you remember those like little push button brass, things that you would put on the leather around the insides.
Yes.
Yep. And they go like up and over the little brass pins. But I still have that in my garage. But my dad built that for me. Did that in his garage with his little woodworking stuff. But that kind of stuff's the best.
It is absolutely the best. That I kind of want to bring back that like leather work mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, those skull cap bucks. Really cool. Yeah, with those leather works. But anyways.
That's the picture of the Henrys. I was looking for
it. Oh, man.
That's the angle.
That is, yeah.
This is quite the angle.
Yeah. Uphill, man.
King's camo, man. That was the big buck killer back then. I'm going to find this real quick.
Did you say 09?
Yeah, 2009.
Gotcha. Dang. Man, time flies, huh?
When you're having fun.
Yeah. We'll have to find some of these and put them in.
I'm going to find this and
get them to Omar.
I know where it's at. Sorry.
While you're looking, I'll hit promo and then we can wrap. But yeah, we usually do that at the top of the podcast, but we'll just close it out. You guys can use the promo code podcast if you want to sign up for a Go Hunt Insider membership. Like I said, there are some upcoming opportunities to pick up permits in November and December. It's time already, even though you're probably still out hunting, to start doing some research. But you guys can use that promo code podcast. You're going to get $50 back in the Go Hunt gear shop when you sign up, and you can use that towards the purchase of anything that you want in the shop. So we'll throw that on the end just to tag it.
It's a good good promo code to use.
It's the best promo code. the very best one.
I thought I knew where it was, but
that's right.
We'll
if we can find we'll it, we'll tag it on. Maybe we'll do a social, little social post for it, so people can see it. But good luck to people. Good luck. Good luck if you're going out rifle deer hunting. I'm envious. I would love to. I'd love to see your successes. That's been a fun thing. I will say, I bet I've had no less than 50 people reach out since September ended.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people that have asked a question that I might have answered a long time ago, or maybe even people that just said, you know, hey, I want to just share this with somebody and like, can I share this with you? Which has been super cool. So
yeah.
People have been out, you know, getting bucks and bulls. It's been really cool. That's my very favorite thing. It's like the only good reason for social media.
Oh, man, the longer it's gone on, I completely agree.
Yeah. So we'll wrap it there. But thanks, man, for doing that. I appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, that was fun.
Good. I don't mind that at all.